Hello, my little rosebuds, and welcome back to another episode of Weed, Wine, and True Crime. I am your host, Rose420, and tonight we will be diving into the satanic ritual murder of Elise Pollard. Now, you're going to get Jennifer's body, if you've seen it, with Megan Fox, who, goddamn, is she hot, but you'll get strong Jennifer's body vibes if you've seen it. It's a lot like what happens in that movie, except Elise doesn't come back to eat young boys' souls, although she certainly deserves to. All right, so grab your weed, grab your wine, grab whatever else you need, and let's dive into this true crime. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode with me, Rose420. So let's get into the strain of the day so we can get into the satanic ritual murder of Elise Pollard. I just want to say thank you, everybody. We're now at 6,100 listens, but this episode is to celebrate 6,000 listens, so I did a satanic ritual episode because we all know the number 6 goes along with that, and I figured you guys would enjoy it. Okay, so now to the strain of the day. So I have lava cake vape, which like a cartridge, sorry, not a vape. So a lava cake vape cartridge, which I love. It actually tastes like chocolate to me. I give it 9 out of 10 leaves. I have lava cake concentrate, ironically, which I didn't even tell the person I was getting the concentrate from. I had lava cake cartridges from the dispensary. So, yeah. So, lava cake is following me around. The concentrate is good. I give it a 7 out of 10 leaves. It's nothing like knock you on your ass crazy like I've had, but it's good. So, that gets a 7 out of 10 leaves. And now it's time for you to grab your bong, your bowl, your blunt, your joint, your dab rig. There are so many fucking ways to smoke now. I don't even know all of them. Just grab whatever you're smoking out of. Does anybody remember when we were younger? And I'm a millennial, so yeah, I know I'm old. When we were younger and had to hide in the woods and smoke out of like an empty Coke can that somebody poked holes in. Yeah. They don't have to do that anymore because of these vape pens. Anyways, grab whatever you're smoking with and let's dive in to this true crime. So, Elise Pollard was killed in 1995. And this actually caught my eye because one of the men who killed her can actually go free soon. They were teenagers when they killed her, and they were in a band. And anyways, so one of them might go free soon, so we'll discuss that at the end of the episode. And we'll get into the father's feelings and the family's feelings. So Elise Pollard was 15 years old when she was murdered. She was murdered 26 years ago. The main person who fell for this crime's name was Royce Casey. That kind of sounds like a pimp-ass name. I'm not going to lie. Like, my name is Royce. Like, it comes with attitude. Royce Casey. Like, it sounds like a famous person's name. Like, it rolls off the tongue. Royce. Okay, but he's a douche. So we'll call him, I don't know. I'm playing with something like Rolls Royce, but that's too nice. And he's no Casey Jones. So Royce, I will think of something. Don't you worry. So he is also somebody who has appeared remorseful since, but he was 17 when he, 15-year-old Joseph Ferriella, and 16-year-old Jacob Dalishmut stabbed, strangled, and stomped Elise to death. She was a freshman at the time, and they were in a death metal band. So this is where you will get Jennifer's Body vibes, right? Because in Jennifer's Body, they sacrifice Megan Fox, right? Yeah, they sacrifice Megan Fox, who lies about being a virgin, so it doesn't work out correctly. And yeah, she comes back to life, but they sacrifice, well, she kind of comes back to life. She's like this demon thing that preys on young boys, and she's like super hot like Megan Fox usually is, and she gets less hot if she doesn't eat a boy quick enough. And I know this isn't a movie review podcast, but I love movies, so they will probably play into this podcast quite a bit. And I will probably reference Jennifer's Body and quotes from it. Like, ew, it smells like Chinese in here. Were you too fucking? Like, it has the most ridiculous lines in it. It's the most ridiculous movie to ever exist. But if you took it as a dark comedy like you were supposed to, it was actually a very good movie. I enjoyed it. It was very entertaining for what it was. Okay, so let's get back to this. So they're in a death metal band. Royce, Joseph, and Jacob. And they're all around the same age, 17, 15, 16. And they're in a metal band. And they want to play music better. So what is your first option? No, not practice harder. Make a sacrifice to freaking Satan. Teenagers are so dumb. It amazes me. Like, their first conclusion was to make a sacrifice of this poor girl that they barely knew, and, you know, make a sacrifice of her, and it's sad. So they beat her, they stomp her, they promised drugs to her, drugs for her to use, weed. And so she comes out into the woods one night and meets up with the boys. And like I said, they're all, you know, the same age around. So she feels very comfortable around them. So she knows them kind of. They were in school together, but she meets them in the woods. So after they meet in the woods, Elise was stabbed more than 12 times. Strangled, stomped, and left to bleed out. When asked what happened that night, the murderers said that Elise was calling out for her mother while she was dying because she was scared. So Elise, you know, 15-year-old girl, they make mistakes, they go into the woods with weird boys, and she unfortunately paid the price for it. That is all parents fear, which is why she ended up, you know, she ended up dead, and because she trusted these boys, and that's why parents are such freaks when you're a teenager, because you think you know everything, and you really don't. So let's get into the timeline of how this went down. So this is the trial timeline. So Elizabeth, in July of 1995, disappears from her family's house. While she's missing, they pursue leads all across the country looking for Elizabeth because she's been missing. They eventually find her body in the woods. So in March 1996, 17-year-old Royce, so he's still 17 at this time, pleaded guilty And he ended up confessing because he feared his other two friends might kill him. So he ends up telling them he was involved in the murder of Elise, which is how they found her body. Her body is now mummified, well, partially mummified. And it was a quarter mile from her house in a eucalyptus grove. And so the family's looking all over the country, hoping Elise will come home. Unfortunately, she's only a quarter mile down the road. And unfortunately, she didn't survive being with these three chumps. They're chumps. They're idiot boys. Idiot little teenage boys. All douches. That's what I say. We'll call them the sick satanic suckers. Yeah, the sick satanic suckers who are douches. That will be in like parentheses next to their name. So the three boys, Royce, Jacob, and Joseph, are taken into custody. They get charged with 7 counts, including murder, conspiracy to commit murder, conspiracy to commit rape, and kidnapping. Special enhancements for torture and rape are alleged, but they couldn't determine whether she was sexually assaulted or not due to the decomposition and mummification of her remains. Although the rumor is through word of mouth that the boys did rape her corpse after she was murdered to end the sacrifice ritual to Satan of her body, making her impure. So, yes, they sacrificed a virgin to Satan and then raped her after they killed her. So they tell everybody this is because they want to play death metal bad. They want to, you know, be famous for playing death metal. They want to be the most talented, and they idolize the band Slayer. Now, everybody knows somebody who's super into Slayer. So everybody must know who this band is. If you don't, look into them. They're, you know, like the heavy metal back in the day, like Metallica and all those bands. Slayer reminds me, like, falls into that category because they came out around the same time. And they have, like, the same kind of sound, like Black Sabbath-y sound, really heavy on the guitars. And the lyrics are dark. And, I mean, everybody knows Ozzy Osbourne. So, like, think along those lines of when he could talk. Not when he was like, Sharon, the dog's crapped on the carpet again. Except you couldn't understand him, and that show was pure gold, but started the downfall of television by making everything reality television. Okay, so they're really into the band Slayer. So, Elise's family files a lawsuit against Slayer, saying that the band's lyrics are what encouraged Royce, Joseph, and Jacob to commit murder, to commit a satanic sacrifice, to lure Elise into the woods, strangle her, stab her, allegedly rape her. That wasn't proven through forensics, though, so that allegedly is underlined. It was just word of mouth for that. They sought monetary damages and to put a halt to the marketing of violent music towards juveniles. Now, this was like a big thing in the 90s. If you weren't around for the 90s, I'm sorry, you missed an awesome decade. But it was a big thing because NWA had come around. All these bands were around. It didn't have to be metal. NWA, obviously rap. You know, they had Fuck the Police. This is how, you know, Snoop Dogg, all these people coming out. This is how parental advisories came about. So also, if you were alive in the 90s, you remember the Columbine shooting, Marilyn Manson, who was a creep and a rapist, apparently, but he ended up getting blamed for it. Do I think he's responsible? No. I think those kids had other things going on.
but in the 90s, this is a very hot button topic. Was rock and roll music and rap music destroying the youth? Obviously not, but like I said, 90s, really big topic. Okay, so in February of 1997, Doug Odom, the DA and the chief investigator, testifies at the preliminary hearing that Royce had told him the trio had all plotted to kill Elise, and they picked her, quote, because she had blonde hair and blue eyes, and because she was a virgin, she would be a perfect sacrifice for the devil. Odom's testimony really wowed the courtroom because also in the 90s, early 2000s, people were really concerned about Satanists. I know that sounds crazy, but they were really concerned about Satanists, and there was a lot of, you know, satanic things getting thrown around. If you know about the West Memphis Three, you know, they were goth and got blamed for a murder they didn't actually commit because people were convinced they were sacrificing the kids to Satan. And so in the 90s, this would wow the courtroom. Like, oh my God, Satanism has hit our town, blah, 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 stuff like that. So just keep that in mind also while we're going through this case, that these kids probably heard of the Satanism obsession of our culture. And that also probably played into where they got these ideas. You know, people want to blame everybody but their own kids, and they come up with these crazy, Marilyn Manson made them do it, or drugs made them do it, or it's never that their kid was bullied and the parents weren't there enough. You know, like, where were these kids' parents? Where were the Columbine shooter kids' parents when they were building bombs in their garage and nobody knew? You know what I mean? Like, where were the parents? So just like Eminem says, blame it on Marilyn and the heroin, but where were the parents at? It's very true. And I promise never to ruin an Eminem song for you again by speaking the lyrics. So Royce testifies that they lured Elise away from her home with the promise of drug use. Then Jacob strangled her with a belt that he took off that he was wearing that day. So I don't know if he planned to wear this belt or if that was just the only weapon they had that was like there for him, or if they planned this out. I'm assuming that was a part of the plot. Plus, it doesn't look sketchy. You see somebody wearing a belt, you're not automatically assuming that they're going to kill you. So it'd probably make you let your guard down for a minute. So he's strangling her, and Joseph pulls a hunting knife from a sheath and stabs Elise repeatedly in her neck. So then Jacob starts stabbing poor Elise, and then Royce. So the satanic suck dickers are, you know, they brutalize this girl. Can you imagine what a young 15-year-old girl would look like? Like, her head, oh, it makes me want to cry because she was so young and she didn't expect anything. So when they did the autopsy on Elise's body, they found she had been stabbed at least 12 times. So none of these wounds, however, were fatal. Elise suffered. She slowly bled to death from all of these wounds. Oh, that poor girl. She had to be in the woods so scared. These guys are terrible. Like, I know they're teenagers, and that's like a big thing. Their brains aren't done developing, blah, blah, blah. But if you could do that in cold blood to somebody as a teenager, do you deserve to get out of prison eventually? I mean, that's gonna come up in this case, but like, it makes me question that, because that stabbing, as we know, is very personal. It's very brutal, but personal because you're looking at the person. You're right there next to him. It's way more personal than shooting. Strangling is also very personal because you're right there. And those were the two methods they chose, which makes me question, like, they really had no regard for this girl's life. And they really thought that this would probably make them famous, which is sad. They're dumb on top of being terrible people, but I shouldn't say that. That's so mean, but I mean, they killed somebody. I should get carte blanche to say whatever I want about the murderers. We should just go over that now, ladies and gents. Carte blanche over murderers. I will always respect victims and their families. Murderers, we do not respect on this show. We are fascinated by them. We do not respect them. So the DA says that Royce then told him that Elise was crying out for her mother while she was being attacked. He said she was praying to God and calling out for her mom, which is, you know, she's a part of a satanic sacrifice and she's praying to God. Like, that is so sad to me. Like, she was so scared. You could tell by her actions and how young she was. She was probably so scared, just wanted her mom. It's sad. So, ladies and gents, my younger listeners, even though you have to be 18 plus to listen to this, or, yeah, you should be 18 plus to listen to this. This is why your parents were crazy. They were worried you would go out in the woods one night with your friends and just not come back. And that's a really scary thought, and it happens to way too many, especially females in America. Happens to males too, but especially females. Royce was quoted as saying, "It was to receive power from the devil to help them play guitar better. By making the perfect sacrifice to the devil, we would gain more craziness or nuts. That would make us play harder, play faster. And by making the perfect sacrifice to the devil, it might help us go professional." So they thought killing this girl was going to make them famous. Now, if you remember, in Jennifer's body, it does make them famous. These fools, however, nah, girl, they don't get famous. And they didn't deserve it. And Royce, the ridiculous asshole, there's no good R word for him. He's just an asshole. You know, kind of, I feel like even though he confessed, was he really sorry or was he worried about getting caught? And Jacob and Joseph, the big fat jerks who deserve a kick square to their family jewels, you know, were they sorry or were they just upset and wanted to look sorry because Royce had told on them and they had no leg to stand on? Also, I know pack mentality is a thing where when you get around people who are thinking a certain thing, you could be pressured into doing things you wouldn't normally do. But it's weird to me how sociopaths or killers or whatever have like a magnet for attracting people like them. Like, he found two other boys where they weren't like, "Hey, this is wrong. We shouldn't kill this poor innocent girl just for our metal band." You know, he found two boys that were like, "Yeah, let's kill her. We want to be famous." Like, how do they find these people? And how many people do we know that would have done this if they had found somebody like Royce, Joseph, and Jacob in their lives and then would have went on to be killers? It just makes you question a lot because they're so young. March 1997, Joseph is sentenced to 26 years to life in prison, and as part of an agreement they dismissed all the other charges including rape in exchange for Joseph to plead guilty to first-degree murder. So I'm sure many of you know, but many courts do this where they're willing to make a deal. If you plead guilty to this and it leads to this much jail time, then we'll dismiss the other charges. So the rape charge ends up getting dismissed. That's why it's alleged. It wasn't backed up by forensics, and a jury of their peers didn't get to decide if it was true. I believe it was. I don't think these boys were like, oh no, rape is too much for us. I mean, they just stabbed a girl they knew in the neck, let her cry out for her mom and pray until she bled to death slowly. So, but yes, the DA, especially without forensic evidence, if they feel like, you know, that charge may not even get a guilty plea, they will make a deal. If you plead guilty to this, you'll get this sentence and we'll drop these other charges. So, David, who is Elise's father, was at the hearing and he said, quote, Joseph, it's a parent's worst fear and lifetime pain to outlive their child. It's even worse knowing that she was murdered, tortured, and raped as a virgin sacrificed on the altar of Satan so that you can earn a ticket to hell. So clearly David is not very forgiving at this point. So the Telegram Tribune says that Joseph denied Royce's version of the events, but he did admit to being the first to stab Elise. Joseph went on to say, quote, I wish it never happened. Since it happened, I always wish that God could bring her back to life. I can imagine how her family must feel. Where were these feelings when you were killing this young girl? Like, anybody could have stopped it at any point, I feel like, and been like, no, I'm not doing this anymore. This is wrong. But they all stabbed her. They all raped her. So where were these feelings before? And he said it was a stupid mistake. Is this because he got caught? Or is it because he's actually sorry? The world may never know, like, how many licks it takes to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop. Okay, I'm sorry. If you're old enough, you remember that commercial too. So September 1997, Royce avoids life in prison without parole by pleading no contest to first-degree murder. He is sentenced to 25 years to life in November. He would have to serve a minimum of 21 years. So this means he can't be up for parole until he served 21 years, and he can serve 25 to life. October 1997, Jacob pleads no contest to first-degree murder in a deal similar to his co-defendants. He is sentenced to 26 years to life, which he would have to serve 85% of the term before he's eligible for parole. So in October 2001, Elise's family's lawsuit against the band Slayer was dismissed. The judge ruled that the lyrics really did not incite violence. So it was a 14-page decision, and the quote I picked out of it was, quote, Slayer's lyrics are repulsive and profane, but they do not direct or instruct listeners to commit the acts that resulted in the vicious torture murder of Elise Pollard, end quote. I agree. Their lyrics are hardcore. I don't think you listen to a song just like I don't think you play Grand Theft Auto and go out and beat prostitutes because that's what you do in the game. I don't think you hear a song and you think, oh, I should murder. It's okay to murder people. I don't think that's how that works. I think you have to have something special in you to commit such a callous murder. Most people that commit murder would never do it again. They were in, like, certain situations, bad relationships, or wanted to get out of a relationship without divorce and spending money, whatever. These kids were not in any situation other than they wanted to do it because they thought it would be cool and make their heavy metal band better, maybe. I don't even Did they even believe in Satan? Who knows? So it's also ruled that the music is not harmful to children and it's not illegal to sell or market the product, and it's protected by the First Amendment. So, of course, we have the freedom of speech. And the other big issue is if any other ruling came from that, when does censoring end? When does art, depending on your definition of what art is, but art is, you know, very subjective. So when does art censoring stop then? And music counts as art, even though Slayer is not a band I am super into. And I like metal. Like, I do. I listen to all different kinds of music. I just don't like Slayer. It's art. And you can't censor art. That's like censoring violent books or like when they wanted to censor video games. So yeah, I don't think so. So in July 2016, Royce has his first parole hearing, and he's denied for 5 years. December 2017, Jacob is denied parole for 7 years when he is at his hearing. He scheduled his next hearing, which will happen in December 2024. So that's coming up, so we'll be keeping an eye out for that, and I will record updates if they get let out. We'll revisit this case, see what you guys think. But so he has it coming up in December 2024. October 2018, Joseph files a habeas corpus petition challenging his incarceration. Joseph argues that his trial attorney did not challenge his mental fitness when he stood for trial in 1995. July 2019, Royce waives his next parole hearing and is denied for 3 years. So he didn't even attempt, he just waived it. August 2019, Joseph waives his right to his parole hearing for 2 years. In December 2021, so almost a year ago, I can't believe it's almost December. By the way, I have a December birthday, so yay, it's almost December, it's almost Sagittarius season, woo! Okay, so Royce and Jacob testify at the request of the DA in the habeas corpus petition brought by Joseph, and they testify that Joseph did understand what he was doing at the time. I completely think he understood. I think he's realizing life in prison wasn't worth it. When you are 15, 16, 17, I don't think you have any concept of what spending a lifetime somewhere would be like because you haven't lived that long. So a lifetime might not seem bad, but it's a long freaking time, depending on how long you live. So I think that's remorse for the deal he struck. I think he's sad that he's stuck in prison for a shit decision he made when he was younger. I think he's exactly where he needs to be. Joseph's challenge is currently under submission at the Superior Court. So they're looking at the case, seeing if it even should be heard at the Superior Court level, making all those decisions. In March 2021, Royce is granted parole by two California Parole Board commissioners. During the hearing, the commissioner finds that Royce has a nearly 20-year record of model behavior in prison, and he went to several rehabilitation programs. He served as a mentor. He got his GED. He worked on a bachelor's degree in psychology and sociology, which I find interesting. I wonder if he went into psychology to understand why what happened and why he did what he did. Because as a 15-year-old, That has to be hard to understand. At 15, you're so young. Like, I think that he deserved to be in prison, but if he truly turned his life around, I don't know that a 15-year-old should serve life. He might actually be remorseful. I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know if you can change after you cold-bloodedly murder somebody like that. But he says if he's released, he wants to move to LA and find work as a substance abuse counselor. So the commissioner said that, quote, we find the person who committed the crimes and the person who sits before us today are two completely different people. The state's legal team has 120 days to review this legal issue. And it goes to the desk of the governor, and the governor can reverse the decision and put it up for further review or take no action, in which Royce would be scheduled for release after 30 days. So Joseph waives the right to his parole hearing, and he has one tentatively set for July 2022. So that's coming up really soon. So that will be this coming summer. So we'll definitely have to talk about that when that happens. So in June 2021, DA Dan Dow writes a letter to Newsom opposing the release of Royce. He says that Royce has never adequately explained why he participated in such a sadistic and heinous crime. Dow argues that the parole panel, that they disregarded and didn't give adequate weight and put importance on the horrific crime that he committed. And they instead looked at Royce's behavior in prison, which would make sense. That's how they know Royce the best. So I don't think he's remorseful if he hasn't at least admitted his wrongdoing and why in his part. I think in order to be truly remorseful, you have to admit your part and really look at why. And I just think he's a douche. I think they're all little douchebags who should stay in jail. But Elisa's father, David, disagrees with me. He does not oppose Royce's release and personally thinks that Royce is suitable and not a public safety risk. So we will revisit this when we get more information on everybody, especially the two that waive their rights and won't be granted parole hearings until later this year or in December 2024. My personal feeling is that's a cold-blooded crime. That's really hard for me to say if they can heal. I can't tell you if a leopard can change their spots after being in jail. What I can say is, like, it's not like the Menendez brothers where abuse might have been a factor or there were other factors pushing them, or, and I say might because I don't know if I think they were abused or not. I'm not sure. I wasn't there. The family testimony backs them up that they were. So there was something pressing there that they needed to do. So it's not like that with these three. They killed this girl purely out of selfishness, wanting to be famous, being dumb teenagers, I think was a part of it because they believed they would get famous if they killed this girl. I think a lot of things went into this. I think they're terrible people, and I don't know that I think they could change. That is a very cold-blooded crime. It was personal. They strangled her. They stabbed her. Both very personal crimes. This poor girl, they planned it all out, lured her out into the woods. I just think there's too many components in this crime that point to they are heartless. That was supposed to sound like The Weeknd, but it did not at all. And I am so sorry for that. Okay, so that wraps up tonight's episode. Thank you again. 6.1 listens. Let's get it up as high as possible. Share with your friends. Rate us. Leave comments. Do whatever you can to help support this. You can also follow us on social media. There is no us. I'm saying like us as a community, because I love my little Rosebud. So I am on social media. I am at Rose420 on Twitter. It's R0SE420 on Twitter. And on Instagram, it's at Weed, Wine, and True. I post updates about the episodes on there. I love to talk to people on there. I usually post memes. I usually post weird random thoughts I have on Twitter, not on Instagram. So join the communities I have going on there and keep supporting. Thank you guys so much for all that you've done. I never thought I'd get 100 listens, so 6,100 is really crazy. Love you guys. I will see you next time. I hope you enjoyed this episode.